Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You can watch On Call with the Prairie DAC on SDPB-TV. That's Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain. And you can hear Dr. Holm on In the Moment on Thursdays. He's joining us today from the Janine Basinger Studio at South Dakota State University. Dr. Holm, welcome.
Hi, Lori.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm in this new studio, and it sounds a little loud, actually.
It sounds wonderful. That's what clarity sounds like, Dr. Holm.
That's clarity.
That's clarity versus the cell phone usage. Yeah. That's the sound of clarity that you hear, but yeah. We can adjust some volume for you, too. So clarity is manageable.
I hope that what I have to say has some clarity today.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
What's the topic for tonight's program?
Well, we're going to have Maggie Callanan here live. She is a Connecticut expert in end-of-life care and has written the book Final Gifts, which is a wonderful book. I would recommend it for anyone who is looking at helping somebody through the end of their life, you know, anybody involved with hospice, anybody who is aging. And that's all of us.
Right.
And she's a world-renowned speaker. So she's come to Sioux Falls and is speaking as we are talking today, right now. And then this afternoon she'll be in Brookings to speak. And she's going to talk about her book, I'm sure. Actually, she has a second book. And she's going to talk about end-of-life care and the value of hospice and palliative care and this whole trend that's happening in America right now.
How much of when did this begin, that we really started looking at end-of-life in a different way? I'm sure it's a long transition, but how far back does it go where physicians and patients and families and nurses were really saying, we can do better?
Right. Well, it's when we had advent of a fabulous new scientific knowledge. And so as we've been able to do better in caring for people and really start, I think the big switch was when IV fluids and NG tube feedings were discovered. I mean, in 1905, a famous physician talked about how people die gently in the end of their lives. They come in like they go out like they came in, and that most people die relatively easily. Hmm. Now it's different because we have IV fluids and NG tube feedings. And so what happens is they get, we're too good at what we're doing, and we have CPR and resuscitation. We're successful in being able to get people through it. And then but they're not really alive. Many people are relatively brain dead, and they end up in a bed in a nursing home, not realizing or aware of what's going on. And sometimes they can live for years in that state because of IV fluids and or NG tube feedings, tube feedings, maybe not nasal gastric feedings is NG, meaning goes down the nose. But a lot of people will have feedings that go through the abdomen into the small intestine, so they don't have as many complications from the feedings.
What are some of the latest innovations as you read Maggie Callahan's work? What's being done to move the conversation about end of life forward?
Well, I think Maggie—that's her whole thing.
Yeah.
That people who are in that situation, if they can, or potentially going to be in a situation like that, they need to have an advance directive. Who is that? Well, it's anybody should be talking to their family about what would I want if I didn't know my family anymore, and there's no reasonable chance that I'm going to that it's going to reverse that condition. Would I want to be kept alive on a feeding tube or not? Would I want to be kept alive on a respirator? And if we can give an advance directive, and I think that's the major thing. If I don't know what's going on, I can't recognize my children, and I no longer have an ability to swallow or to eat in a natural way, do I want to have a feeding tube? And the answer is, for me, I don't know about you, Lori, but for me, it's absolutely not. Mm. You know, who's, you know, I think the one of the major things that's happened is we're afraid of dying because it's been hidden from us as we grow up, and we don't really know about dying anymore, talk about dying anymore. Do you have your advance directive?
No, sir. No. I do not.
So, here's what I would say to you.
You caught me on that one.
And an advance directive is written, and it's been, you know, stamped for approval, and it gets put in a lockbox somewhere, and then it isn't available when you need it.
Yeah.
The most important part is that you talk to your family about what you would want should you lose your capacity to know what's going on. Mm. And if you've talked about that with your family, that's more important than the document.
Sure, sure.
In fact, you can have a perfect document that says, no, I don't want it, if the family all says do it. who's gonna fight the family, you know, that not the care providers that are looking at the family and thinking they're the ones that will sue me, not that person that's laying in a coma.
Right.
So they'll follow the family's direction. So you need to talk. Everybody should talk to their family about what you would want.
Now you've read Maggie Callahan's work. She's going to be on the program tonight. What do you want to ask her? What is it that that you feel like I'm so glad I'm going to have her next to me because we can talk about this? What do you want to know?
Well, I think the big thing, you know that I have pancreatic cancer.
Yes.
And so I'm out 2 years. I've got a chance. You know, there's a new chemo that's working really well, and they're planning on resecting the liver, and that, you know, where there's a metastatic lesion, and there's a chance that, not a huge chance, but there's a chance that I would live a while longer. But we're all going to die, and we're all filled with almost a panicky reaction that I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I think we all need to realize that fearing death is dangerous to your health. Mm. That it's not a good state to be in. And I have seen, I don't know how many people who have discovered they have a terminal illness of some kind, and they spend the remaining days of their lives frustrated and panicking and angry and manipulating that issue, and their lives' quality were reduced by the mere fear of dying. So I think when you know that you have this amount of time, or that you have some significant time, and then you're going to be gone, you're blessed. I think it's grace. And a lot of people, and I said it in the past, I don't want to know. Let me be taken in the middle of the night, you know, or by a jealous lover when I'm 95, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, I think the truth is that we shouldn't be fearful of death. And Maggie will, her book, half of the book is talking about, you know, the data that we have from near-death experiences, for example, that tell us that the people who do die, actually, once they've done that and then they come back, they go, wow, I am not afraid of dying. Mm. That was a wonderful experience. And I'm, you know, if that's what it's like, then take me anytime. And I think that's one way of looking at it. But I think looking at why we shouldn't be afraid of dying is what we're going to hear from Maggie Callahan tonight.
And how much does environment sort of matter during end of life? You know, staying home, a hospice house that has been lovingly and artfully designed to, you know, fit family and provide access to the outdoors and things like that. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think all of us would prefer to die at home rather than in, you know, in a hospital or a nursing home or a place away from home. But sometimes your family just can't handle that. I mean, if I've got a comfortable bed, that's good enough for me. I'm not filled with fear of being somewhere besides home when I pass away. I think that's a concern that is overly wrought. On the other hand, you know, there are something like 80% of the people in America, except in Oregon and Washington, die in an institution. Mm-hmm. And in Oregon, the numbers have been dropping, partly because of, I think, the physician-assisted suicide law. Now, I'm not a fan of physician-assisted suicide because I would say the majority of those cases are really people who find out that they've got cancer or that they're going to die, and then they go into a deep depression. And then I have a problem with people who commit suicide because they're depressed. It's a treatable condition. It's not it's not a permanent condition, and I'm against allowing people who are depressed to commit suicide because I think it's a bad choice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same situation with people at the end of their lives. And if they're in pain, I'll put them in a drip of pain medicine, and maybe it puts them to sleep, and maybe they'll die from that, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But not about assisted suicide. But that's another story, isn't it? We could talk about that till
another
end
day.
Of the day.
Dr. Richard Holm, you can see On Call with the Prairie Doc. It's tonight at 7 Central, 6 Mountain, SDPB-TV. Thank you so much for being here with us again.
Thank you, Laurie.
He joined us from the Janine Basinger Studio at SDSU.